the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with David Dawson. Hey, guys.
Hey,
Dave.
Hey.
Actually, it's just you.
Just guy.
You and I.
Yeah, just guy. How you doing, Gabby?
Good. Wow. Oh, my goodness. It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
We're getting started.
And it's so weird coming into work. The streets are empty in Baton Rouge, just completely empty. I don't know where everybody is.
Why?
But I had no trouble getting to work. Just cruised all the way here. No problem. So I have no idea why, but I guess everybody's on vacation. I guess everybody's headed to town, huh? Out of town, I mean.
I was going to say they're sleeping in, but the heat's making everyone so sleepy lately. I don't know. My goodness.
Anyway, shall we begin with prayer?
Yes.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of this day. We thank you for our health. And those of us who are not in good health, please please help us, Lord, and help us to cope with anything that you throw our way. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In name of the Father, Amen. Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Irenaeus, pray for us.
Pray for us. We had a little lesson on how to pronounce our
yes,
saint of the
we
day
did.
Earlier on, thanks
we were
to
all
Jeff
over
Blackwell.
The map. Yes.
We'll learn more about our saint later on in today's show, but we're starting off with some events in our listening area we will give you details about, and one of them I'm actually really excited about because it's happening every 4th of July weekend on the coast. You definitely want to hear about this one, quite a unique one.
Oh boy.
In 18 minutes, Sister Mary Martha Moss joins us. She's with the Daughters of St. Paul in Metairie, and today she's going to be talking about the Pauline Bookstore that's right off of Veterans Boulevard in Metairie, how to support your local Catholic bookstore, and just an update on how the sisters over in Metairie are doing. So looking forward to talking to Sister Mary Martha Moss in just a few moments. In 35 minutes, Father Fred Janga joins us. He's the president of a ministry called Holy Cross Family Ministries, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what they do and how they support Catholic families with prayer. And in 48 minutes, we're taking it over to the Catholic cemeteries in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and we're going to be talking to Heather Veneziano with Catholic Cemeteries in the Archdiocese.
It's pronounced Irenaeus. So, okay. I'm kidding, Gabby.
Jeff will help us with Heather. But no. I'm really excited because they have some really cool technology stuff over at Catholic cemeteries. And I don't want to give too much of it away.
I've already played with it.
You can find your ancestors through your computer and see exactly where they're buried over in the cemeteries in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, if they're buried in Catholic cemeteries. It is so cool. Dave found his
great-grandfather. No, my great-uncle.
Oh, great-uncle. Yeah. Great-uncle.
Now, my great-grandfather is in the cemetery. I didn't find him yet, but I found my great-uncle there. So, yeah, it's
we'll
fascinating.
We'll see after the break if Dave found his
Yeah, maybe she can help me out. Maybe I was looking in the wrong place.
Oh my goodness. Well, we have the gospel and gospel reflection coming up right after the break. We're so excited that you are tuning in, especially on Catholic Life Television. Welcome new followers, new listeners, new viewers. We're so glad that you are here and joining us this morning. And thank you so much for tuning your heart to the truth. Stay with us. We have that coming up. It is 5 past the hour on Wake Up.
Thank you. good Wednesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Just so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So by their fruits you will know them." We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
Jesus was fully aware of the difficulties his doctrine presented to his followers. And yet this awareness never led him to compromise the truth by diluting its message to make it sound easier. In contrast, the false prophets of every age always take the path of least resistance. They appear soft and warm and sensitive and understanding, characterized in the Gospel as men in sheep's clothing, but they are in fact ravenous wolves. Their evil strategy is to have the dumb sheep, that's us, wander off from the protection of the shepherd. The irony is that their deceptively easy message leads to death, whereas the demanding message of Christ always leads to life. The Good Shepherd wants to protect the sheep, so he forewarns us with two principles of recognition. One, we can know the true way, the true path, by its narrowness. And secondly, we can perceive the true from the false by its fruit. Thorns and thistles, like weeds, need no cultivation. They sprout up as spontaneously as sheep tend to go astray, if they are unimpeded by the contrary forces of discipline and correction. Similarly, because a bad tree is worn out and begins to rot, it can no longer circulate its vital sap, and therefore, it can only produce abortive fruit. The solution is to be grafted into Jesus, who is a good tree planted in the garden of the resurrection by the Heavenly Father. This vital grafting occurs first in baptism. His life-giving and life-altering sap continues to flow into us in the Eucharist. The result is the good fruit that pleases the Father if we obey the same laws of life and growth that determine Jesus' own good nature. And so, beginning with the Beatitudes, the whole Sermon on the Mount, which the Church has given to us in 12 weekday readings, reveals to us the interior laws of Christ, the Eternal Word, as he applies them to us, the beloved disciples given to him by his Father. We're invited to live in the new Garden of Paradise, where the Blessed Trinity dwells within us. So while ease and self-complacency yields a harvest of thorns and thistles, asceticism and prayer, hiddenness, and the tough demands of real love are the deep roots that blossom into a paradise of enduring delights. The offer and the help are God's. The choice is ours. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sager.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for today's Gospel and Reflection. It is 12 past the hour on Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith along with David Dawson, and we have various events in our listening area we want to give you details about. But if you have an event you would like to submit to us on our website, you can do so by going to Events and News and click on Submit Your Event. It is absolutely free. We post it on our calendar, on our website, and we talk about it on the morning show.
To give you guys a little plug,
but you can send us events happening next week or in December or even next summer. So the calendar goes on and on.
Yeah.
So send it to us for free. Even if it's a recurring event like a retreat or a women's, you know,
prayer group,
Bible study, prayer group.
Right.
We get all of those as well, and we can do that. So, yeah, send it to us for free. You can send me as many events as possible. I have people who send me who do that all the time.
And so, we're your bulletin board. You can do that. So that's what I like to think of, is we're your bulletin board or with a voice. So
yes.
Yeah.
And one of the events I'm really excited about is actually starting tomorrow, and that's over in the Diocese of Biloxi on the Mississippi Gulf Coast in Bay St. Louis. The Our Lady of the Gulf Crab Fest, the 39th Crab Fest, is starting on June 29th, and it runs through July 1st. There is lots of food, vendors, music, and Dave, you'll like this. You have to find a beer golf cart for a chance to win a golf cart.
You have to
So if you've ever been to Bay St. Louis, you know that it's a golf cart community. There's plenty of golf carts around.
I dodge
so much
them all
fun.
The time. Right.
Okay, and there is going to be a beer golf cart that's going to be riding around. And if you spot the beer golf cart, you can enter to win a golf cart over at the Crab Fest, which I think is so cool.
I'm pretty good at spotting beer golf carts. So,
they are also handing out samples.
Okay. I may follow him around.
So, anyway, but they have really cool local craft vendors, music, and it's just a great time. There's rides, there's funnel cakes, and just different things as well.
And crabs.
Plenty of food.
I hope.
Crabs, yes. Seafood. It's a blast. So head over to Bay St. Louis this weekend for a fun, family-filled Our Lady of the Gulf Crab Fest.
That's right.
It's a blast.
It's kind of close to everybody. Well, especially if you live in Bay St. Louis like Gabby, but it's close to everybody otherwise, you know.
Well, and it's only an hour from New Orleans and an hour and 45-ish minutes from Baton Rouge. It's a good weekend trip, and it's a lot of fun for
the family. Yeah, you kind of get away, but you're not getting real far away. You can always make it back that afternoon. What a nice little outing. Plus, it just sounds like a fun festival. So you may see me down there around that golf cart that Gabby was talking about.
The pure golf.
On June 29th, Natural Family Planning Presentation will be given, and it's from 7 to 8 p.m. in the Belasol Center at St. Catherine of Siena. Dr. Angela Paris will provide an overview of the many benefits and options of Natural Family Planning. Go to ccmedia.live. I highly recommend going to these things, especially if you're an engaged in couple. You learn so much more.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. We'll stick around. We have more coming up right after the break. It is 15 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 28th. Today we celebrate Saint Irenaeus. The Church is fortunate that Irenaeus was present during much of its troubles in the second century. He had ideal qualities, a fine mind, great patience, loyalty to Church teaching, and a desire to win over his opponents rather than prove them in error. He was born in Asia Minor but served as a bishop in France. Irenaeus was especially concerned with the Gnostics, whose teachings were attracting and confusing many Christians. The Gnostics denied the goodness of the flesh and maintained that revelation was available only to an elite few. Irenaeus challenged the heresy and, in five books, developed a system of theology that proved to be of lasting importance. His works, widely translated, gradually ended the influence of the Gnostics. Later, when the date for the celebration of Easter caused a rift between the Christians of the East and the West, Irenaeus interceded with the Pope on behalf of the Asia Minor contingent. The Pope's favorable response led to the voluntary adoption of the Western practice some 100 years later. Like his early life, the circumstances of Irenaeus's death in 220 are not clear. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Eighteen past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson, and I'm along with Gabby Smith, and we have a returning guest that I love to talk to. Sister Mary Martha Moss over at Pauline Books and Media in Kenner or in Metairie. Good morning, sister.
Good morning, David. Wonderful to be here.
It's good to see you, or good to talk to you again. I'm looking at your picture here because we have a little video online here that I can look at. Sister, I love going to your bookstore. You got a great destination,
yes.
Even from folks in Baton Rouge that can go. You're easy to get to. You're right on Veterans, right across from Clearview. But talk about your store, what folks can see when they get there.
Well, unlike McDonald's with the golden arches, we have white arches. It's
yeah.
a white building with a red awning.
Yes.
And if people know where the new Ochsner Clinic is, we're right across the street where Clearview Shopping Center kind of used to be and is now morphing into something else.
Oh, okay.
It's a wonderful place because people come. We have the chapel, which was recently redone, and it's so beautiful. We have a beautiful array of books. We have a new award winner. It just won the Association of Catholic Publishers Award for Excellence, and it's a very unique title. It's called God Loves the Autistic Mind.
Really?
And,
God Loves the
yes.
Autistic Mind? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's written by Father Matthew Schneider, who himself is on the autistic spectrum. He's a Legionnaire of Christ.
Wow.
And he explains to people the different ways that those on the spectrum can look at things, their perceptions, things that will help them pray. I had a lady call in for that book, and she says, I want 10 copies. She said, this is such a great way to help me understand how different people
right.
think. And obviously, you know, she knows a lot of people that it could benefit as well. So we're celebrating that award that we just received for such a wonderful book. So we
wow.
have books like that. We have something new that just came in is the Abandonment to Divine Providence, which is it's a great classic.
Oh, it is.
By the Jesuits.
And in fact, I'm glad you get that book in, because occasionally we play Father John Ricardo at 11 a.m. and this is one of his books, and he always says, it never fails, he says, if you don't read anything else, read this book. And this is one of them that he says, and the phone rings, you know, right after that. What was that book again? So we can have them over to your store, because you have it. And this is one of them, The Abandonment, because this was written in the 1700s, right?
Right. And
yeah.
what we did is we did a beautiful leatherette-bound edition of it, so it makes a great gift.
Yeah.
And one of the sisters actually went through the text, and at the end of each little chapter, she did a short reflection and a prayer. So it kind of helps you think it over. And yeah, it's a great addition. And you've got the classic text there, and then with a contemporary help from one of the sisters to reflect on it.
Yes. You've got some children's book here. We had this young lady as a guest mm-hmm. once, the Sister Serafina Mysteries. It's little mice. One is
yeah.
a nun, right?
Yes,
I love it.
Yeah,
yes.
They're little blue nuns.
Yeah, little
they're
blue
little
mice
blue
nuns.
Mouse nuns.
Yes.
They live under the floorboards of Chesterton's home, and she tells a whole story about them. And actually, one of those just won an award, too.
I bet.
My first place for children's picture book, yes.
Was that the one about the cheese? What was the name of that, Gabby? What was the one about the cheese? The strange case of Pilfered cheese or something
yes.
like that, right? Yeah.
Oh, that was such a fun interview.
Cheese.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, the more she told us about these books, they just sound delightful. Now, this one is called The Strange Sound by the Sea, and it's got the little mice playing in the sand by the sea, I guess. So anyway, yeah, well, I have grandkids, so these are the kind of things that I look for as well.
No,
so,
good.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you have gifts as well?
Yes, we do. We have all... We have, of course, statues, and we have some beautiful rosaries. Some are even made by the sisters.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And they get great gifts. We've had a lot of people come in for confirmation, and, of course, First mm-hmm. Communion season is now definitely over, although we still get people in for that. And then I'm always amazed, because when I first came here, we had to expand the gift section for baptism gifts.
Huh.
We get so many people looking for things for, you know, a christening, whether it's for an infant or maybe a little bit older. So we've got a great array of gifts for babies and that wonderful occasion, you know?
Yeah, you have a pretty large store. It's pretty amazing.
Yes, she does. And and you step in. I've been there numerous times. You step in and you are greeted by happy faces of the Pauline sisters.
Yeah.
And you immediately just are joyful if you weren't.
Yeah.
But I love it because a lot of the children's books are written by a lot of the Pauline sisters. And I have to say, I took my son in there. We've gone in there so many times, but even when he was 3-4 years old, he was so captivated by, there's a stand with hundreds of prayer cards on it with saints, and he would just grab 10 of them. You know, they're a dollar.
Yeah.
You know, but, or I just, you know, or there's something like that. But there's something about that store, sister, the chapel we've been in, the events, where he just didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
And that's just the place that I think families should be taking their kids in because of what's in it.
I agree. It's a good destination. You know, if you're going in from Baton Rouge, it's easy to get to. And it's just you stay there for a while. And what store has a chapel in it? You know, I mean, how rare is that? Talk about your chapel, sister.
Yeah. Well, you know, the store is over 54 years old, and the chapel was always there. And in fact, the nearby parish, St. Anne's, they before they built their church, they actually had baptisms, a confirmation, and a wedding in our chapel, before they actually had in the chapel. So now, every now and then, somebody will come in and say, I was baptized in this chapel.
Wow.
So it's got a long, beloved history in the parish, in this area.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's our convent chapel.
Yeah.
And we have the statues of Our Lady, Queen of Apostles, who symbolizes our mission because she's holding Jesus, but she's holding him as if she's going to hand the baby to you.
Yes, I've seen that.
You know, so our mission to give Jesus. And then, of course, St. Paul there with the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Word, and the sword of his martyrdom. We're going to celebrate his feast day this week. It's St. Peter and Paul on the 29th, but on the 30th is the feast of St. Paul for our congregation. It's not celebrated by the Universal Church, but it is celebrated by the Pauline family.
Oh, wow.
And all of us here, all the sisters here, we all made our vows around this feast day. So tomorrow is my 43rd anniversary of vows.
43rd.
And,
Yes,
yes.
That is fantastic. That is great. Where did you take your vows?
I took my first vows in Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay, in Boston, right.
Yes.
I know that there's speaking of the Pauline nuns, I know that there's a sort of a come and see coming up there in Boston as well, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
For a high school program that runs about a little over a week.
Yeah.
For young girls who are curious, who want to know more, and they do fun things with the nuns, and they also pray with the sisters. They learn more about our prayer, our spirituality. They see, they also have different tracks, like in, you know, a writing track or an art track, where they do activities and join the sisters in the mission, in actually what we do in the mission. And then they do some sightseeing. Boston's a pretty historical place, so they can do that too, and just get to know other young women their age in high school who are curious and have questions.
And you get to go to Boston. How cool would that be to spend a whole week up there in Boston? That would be
great.
And
you get to hang out with the Pauline sisters,
who
are just cool in general.
Exactly.
I see what you guys do on social media. And, of course, we love and know Sister Tracy Dugas and our Dugas. Yeah. And it's so great to have something like this, too, because the Pauline sisters are so unique because they also focus on media and spreading the good news and, you know, go hand in hand with what we're doing over in Catholic Community Media. So I love y'all's mission, and that's why we love supporting the Pauline sisters, especially locally.
So let's go over your hours. When are y'all open?
We are open Monday through Friday, 10 to 5:30.
10 to 5:30.
And Saturdays, okay. 10 to 5.
Okay, okay. And and you're located right there in Metairie. You're say, across from the Ochsner complex clinic. Or whatever's going on.
Their new big clinic. Father Bo always tells people we're right across from Target. So that, you know, whatever people know helps them landmark between Houma Boulevard and Clearview. So.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, sister, thank you for joining us. We'll be talking to you again real soon. Folks, make that a destination. Pauline Books, Gifts, and Media in Metairie. Thank you, sister.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
All right. We're hitting the bottom of the hour. When we come back, Gabby's going to be talking to Father Fred Jenga. It's 30 past the hour on Wake Up.
It is 35 past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up This Morning or watching us on Catholic Live TV, YouTube, our Facebook page. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Gabby Smith along with David Dawson. Our next guest is Father Fred Jenga. Father Fred is a president of Holy Cross Family Ministries. Good morning. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Gabby. It's a privilege to be here to be on Wake Up.
It's so good to have you with us and the uniqueness of this ministry that you are the president of, Holy Cross Family Ministries. Father Jenga, tell our listeners a little bit about this wonderful ministry and what you do.
Thank you, Gabby. If anybody has ever heard about the slogan or the message, the family that prays together stays together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is the organization behind that message. It was founded by Father Patrick Peyton, who coined that statement or that message because he was interested in the spiritual well-being of the families. Family unity and peace, all of that was his concern. So we've been around since the 1940s, and right now we are in 17 countries, and we have 27 offices around the world.
That's amazing. And the fact that it's been around for that long, but also you're bringing families together through prayer. So where do you start, you know, in a time where we need prayer, more than ever, where do you start?
Yes. It is, we are in that season where really faith needs to go back into the families again. There was a time when it was taken for granted in the families. People prayed. I grew up praying the rosary every day in our family. And that was the culture. But the ground has shifted. And there is no more, there is little faith in the families and the practice of family prayer. And we've seen the consequences of that on family life. We've seen what the absence of prayer can do. So what we do is to provide the resources that families need to educate themselves about how they can be able to get this important practice going. There is a lot of power in prayer, even more power when the family can be able to pray together. Because basically what we're asking people is return God back into the families. And we know that God is love. When he comes, he teaches us how to love in the family. Mm-hmm. God is patience. God is forgiveness. God is generosity. So when people commit themselves again to family prayer, these are the kinds of fruits that they can be able to reap.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you said that, because when I had a freshman religion class over in high school, we had Sister Christella, beautiful, cute little nun, and she would always start our religion class saying, asking us, what is God? And we would respond, God is love. And she always wanted to remind us that. Still to this day, I think about that quite often, and I'm so glad that you said that. So do you provide resources for parishes, or can families reach out to you maybe if they want to get started with family prayer or enhance their prayer life? Can they reach out to you as well?
Yes, yeah, we have a variety of resources. We have the Peyton Institute for the Domestic Church Life that is directed by Greg and Lisa Popchak. Mm-hmm. We have an app that people can be able to download and also get a lot of resources. We call it Catholic Home, Catholic H-O-M, Catholic Home. There is an app for that, where they can be able to get a lot of resources. We have family theater productions out there in California. We have a website that goes by that same name, Family Theater. And there is entertainment and resources for faith formation that are also available for families that would like to try out something. And then if you go to our website, HCFM, which is Holy Cross Family Ministries, there are also resources, and you will be directed where to find a lot of these resources that you can be able to use in your home or in your family. So there are a lot of stuff. You can even write to us. We have people that are going to respond and help to provide like a family prayer kit that teaches you how to do this, and coloring books. That is just too much. Too many resources up there.
I love it. And I love that you have too many resources as well.
So that website is good to hear. Too many.
HCFM.org. I actually posted the link in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. But I wanted to talk about your worldwide rosary distribution. This is quite interesting and very powerful. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Yeah. When Father Peyton founded this ministry, we wanted to encourage family prayer, especially the rosary, in the families. It's an easy prayer. It is a prayer at whose heart are the mysteries of the rosary that speaks to every season of human life or every season that families go through. The season of joy, the seasons of sorrow and celebration and victory, all of that is captured, and even mission. So we encourage the families, this is the tool that we put in their hands so that they can be able to pray. It's a gospel that is on a string. So you can be able to reflect on the gospel just using the rosary. Mm-hmm. So we have that campaign of unpacking the rosary, first of all, so that they can be able to understand the heart of it. But then we distribute like 1 million rosaries every year around the world. Wow. We have offices in Peru, in Latin America, in Mexico, in Brazil, in Chile, in Ghana, in Uganda, in Tanzania, in Kenya, in India, in Bangladesh, in the Philippines, and even here in the United States and in Canada and in Haiti. And that's where we send a lot of these resources that are important. You know, just at the beginning of this year, I was in Bangladesh visiting our team. That does excellent work. And I was in a very rural place. The people are poor. They walked like for 12 or 15 kilometers to get where we were running the program.
Wow.
And they had to walk back again. But one thing that they asked for was, we don't have a church in our village. Can you help build for us a grotto of our Blessed Mother so that we can be able to have a sacred space?
Wow.
They are going to their rice fields or they are going somewhere, they can be able to stop and say short prayer. Just a grotto. They didn't ask for a church, but they asked for just a simple thing as that. And
amazing.
So the rosary and Marian spirituality, the end goal is really to lead us to to Jesus and to knowing him and encountering him and serving him. So the rosary is an important pathway for us to get to that direction.
Amazing. Wow. Father Fred Janga, president of Holy Cross Family Ministries. You can go to hcfm.org for more information. Father Janga, thank you so much for all you do. Before we let you go, may we ask for a blessing from you?
Sure. Yes, I love giving blessings. Okay, we pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for bringing us together today. We know that you've been in our midst, listening to us and ministering to us. We ask that you bless all our families. May you renew them, and may you continue reminding us that the families that center around you are going to be strong, and they are going to be filled with love. And may Almighty God bless you all, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Father Janga, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Gabby. God bless you all and all your listeners.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I had a smile the entire segment. He's just such a joyful person to talk to.
He is. And
definitely check out their powerful ministry.
Absolutely.
Right,
Dave? Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. Well, stay with us. We have more coming up after the break. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
I'm David Dawson along with Gabby Smith, and we're about to talk to somebody who's got one of the coolest jobs I can think of. Heather Veneziano. She's the Director of Public Engagement and Development with Catholic Cemeteries in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And, you know, just coming into New Orleans and looking over at those beautiful above-ground cemeteries and the just wonderful tourist attractions, I can only imagine somebody being in charge of all that and talking about it. Heather, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's amazing the history of these old cemeteries, and just talk a little bit about them all in general in the first place.
Okay. We have some of the oldest cemetery in the city of New Orleans. Our oldest dates back to 1789.
Wow.
Which is St. Louis Cemetery number 1. So we have generations of New Orleanians choosing our cemeteries, which is a beautiful thing, I think. So we manage 13 cemeteries. 12 are within the city of New Orleans. Most date to the 19th century. And mm-hmm. We have 107 acres of sacred ground under our care.
My goodness. So, coming into the city on the interstate, and I'm looking over at the left, and I'm looking at those acres of these beautiful above-ground graves. You have tours of those and such? People come to tour these sites?
It's one of the top tourist activities in the city, actually. New Orleans is a tourism-based economy, but most tourists definitely have it on their list to visit the cemeteries,
which I
think a lot of them are surprised that they're all active. So every single one of our cemeteries still sees burials. We still have families visiting every day, and I think tourists are always a little bit shocked by that. They think of them as historic sites to visit, not so much as living places.
Right.
But it's a good balance, I think.
It is. Beautiful sculptures. Mm-hmm. Just some are very ornate, and it's just, I don't know. I just think they're beautiful. I think it's wonderful. You have another program going on over there, as a matter of fact, that I have been kind of playing around with already. You have a grave search, a burial search, it's called, right?
Yep. We do have a burial search available on our website.
Uh-huh.
And so people can type in the names of their loved ones, and then they could find out which of the cemeteries they're interred in and the location within the cemeteries.
Yeah.
But we're actually expanding that right now with a very large digital mapping project. So eventually you'll be able to go into our cemeteries with your smartphone and just click on whatever tomb on a map, and the information will come up about who's interred in there. You can search by name to try to find your loved ones. So everything will be available to you at your fingertips within the cemetery.
So in other words, I go to the cemetery, I type in the last name of a relative or something like that, and it'll give me the directions to the gravesite?
It'll come right up on the map. Yep.
Oh my goodness. That is fantastic.
Is cool.
That is really, really cool. Well, look, I did. I typed in Kenny. That's my mother's maiden name, Irish side of the family. And I found my great uncle, Michael Fagan Kenny. And he, I don't have, this one doesn't have the grave or the cemetery that he's in. He died in 1959. It's just fascinating though. Hang on. I'm scrolling as I'm talking to you right now, but,
it's so cool, you know, because we do the, you know, 23andMe or Ancestry.com. This is so cool to find your ancestors and actually go and see them physically. There's that connection there. So I think that's cool.
Yeah. And it has the date they were born and, the burial date. I think that's amazing too. This has got to be helping people out with their, genealogy research and such. Do you help out with that as well?
We do. Lately, actually, I've been having a lot of families contact me from California because they've been doing Ancestry and finding out that their relatives are from New Orleans and they want to know where they're buried. So I've been helping them to locate their family's tombs, which has been a really rewarding process for me.
Really? In other words, their ancestry is here in Louisiana, but they live in California now. Right?
That's cool.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Do you get a lot of these calls? Are people doing genealogical research?
Yes.
Okay.
We actually, in 2020, we did a 6-part genealogical workshop series in collaboration with the New Orleans Public Library and the Office of Archives and Records of the Archdiocese, and that's available on our website. 6 hours of helping people to find out, to do all the steps to research their Catholic ancestors in New Orleans. So we have that available as well.
Okay. Now, people are also doing sacramental records and such. Do y'all aid with that, or is that an entirely different department?
That's the Office of Archives and Records of the Archdiocese, but we direct people there. We have a good collaborative partnership with them.
Oh, okay. Good. I can imagine, because I know my family goes way back. I mean, in New Orleans, my mother's side of the family came to New Orleans from Ireland. So, and it just never ceases to fascinate me. And I did find my great grandfather's gravesite. And he wasn't in one of the older cemeteries. It was in the uptown area. And it was, just to walk through and tour these things, they're just beautiful. And you learn so much about our heritage in New Orleans, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah. We're also having, for the digital mapping project, we have mostly Tulane students helping us. So they're being introduced to the cemeteries through their work, digitally mapping the cemeteries for us. And I think these young people, some of them have never been to the cemetery before, and they are coming away with, all of them love the work. I'm actually always very surprised at how much enjoyment they get out of it, but they love being there. They love the architecture. They love learning about all the individuals interred within our cemetery. So it's been a wonderful process for us.
And you have a wonderful website. People can actually go on virtual tours of these cemeteries, the different ones, St. Joseph, St. Patrick, St. Rock Cemetery. They can virtually tour them?
Yep, it works a little bit. It actually works just like Google Maps. So you can take your cursor of your mouse and just wander around the cemetery on your computer. It was really nice, actually, when some of our cemeteries were closed because of COVID, because people can still virtually visit, but that's available. We have an additional resources tab as well on our website, which lists tons of information about how to research your family. It lists information about how to properly clean your tomb, which is a really popular page as we get closer to All Saints Day in November.
This is amazing.
Updating the website. So.
I'm taking a virtual tour.
Can you hear
tour.
Dave?
Yeah.
I can hear you moving.
You hear me clicking? I'm in St. Rock Cemetery, and it looks like Street View. I'm going up and down the rows. It is amazing.
I recommend this site. You can go in the St. Rock Chapel as well in that cemetery. So you can take the mouse and enter the chapel, which was recently restored.
Okay,
that's so cool.
Yeah, I know I'm intrigued somebody. So give us the website.
It's NOLACatholicCemeteries.org.
NOLACatholicCemeteries.org. Y'all, this is a very cool site to go to. And Heather, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate all this information. And I hope to have you back again soon.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Have a great day.
Take care.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Cool. I shouldn't be playing around on the website while I'm talking to the guest, but this is fun, Gabby. This is a a really nice website to visit. And then once again, you can get into the genealogy of your family, you know, in New Orleans. Yeah. So anyway,
I think that's great.
Are we ready to close with prayer?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who called Bishop St. Irenaeus to confirm true peace of the church, grant, we pray, through his intercession, that being renewed in faith and in charity, we may always be intent on fostering unity and concord. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll get you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Father Boniface Hicks joins us to talk about his book, The Fruit of Her Womb. David Dawson Jr. from the Diocese of Home at Thibodeau talks about taking your family to Mass and so much more. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.